Darwin 5, check Cairo, göstere.
Roger.
This is Sonarchy Radio, broadcasting from the studios at Jack Straw Productions in Seattle. This is Doug Hare, and for the next hour, we're going to listen to some live music.
Hello, this is Jason E. Anderson, and tonight I'm going to be making some music. If you'd like to find out more about my work, you can Google my name or Gift Tapes.
Chapter 24. Truth. Why care about a theory of truth? Metaphors, as we have seen, are conceptual in nature. They are among our principal vehicles for understanding, and they play a central role in the construction of social and political reality. Yet they are typically viewed within philosophy as matters of mere language.
The third statement in the statement of metaphor is not centered in their conceptual nature. Their contribution to understanding
may have function in actual reality. Instead, philosophers have tended to look at metaphors as out of the ordinary imaginative or poetic linguistic expressions, and their discussions have centered on whether these linguistic expressions can be true.
Their concern with truth comes out of concern with objectivity. Truth for them means objective, absolute truth. A typical philosophical conclusion is that metaphors do not directly state truth, and if they can state truth at all, it is only indirectly, via non-metaphorical, literal paraphrase. We do not believe that there is such a thing as objective, absolute, and unconditional truth. But it has been a long-standing thing in Western culture that there is. As we have seen, truth is always relative to a conceptual system that is defined in large part by metaphor. Most of our metaphors have evolved in our culture over a long period, but many are imposed upon us by people in power, political leaders, religious leaders, business leaders, advertisers, the media, etc. And it comes
Absolutely.
and he speaks from his base of my understanding, and he therefore is the principal variable of understanding. He thinks that an account of how metaphors is true will reveal the way in which truth depends upon understanding.
Ha ha ha. I've invited a Marxist to our dinner party. I've invited a lesbian to our dinner party. Though the same person may fit all of these descriptions, each description highlights different aspects of the person. Describing someone who you know has all of these properties as a sexy blonde is to downplay the fact that she is a renowned cellist and a Marxist, and to hide her lesbianism. In general, the true statements that we make are based on the way we categorize things, and therefore, on what is highlighted by the natural dimensions of the characters.
In making a statement, we make a choice of
categories, because the necessary reasons that represent certain categories, not their parameters.
Every true statement, therefore, necessarily leaves out what is downplayed or hidden by the categories used in it. Out of our interactions. The properties given are not properties of objects, but are directional properties on the perceptual apparatus, conceptions of function. It follows from the statements of categories indicate properties themselves, but rather directional properties. Only relative to the number. We have to choose our perceptions in the given situation. Suppose you say to me, in a discussion group, we need 4 more chairs. And show up a rocking chair, a beanbag chair, a report to a customer that brought the 4 chairs around. In this situation, the broad will serve the purposes of a formal discussion. Had you asked me, chairs were all around. And I show up with the same property. It makes me you will not have property. And will find the same property. Or false. So, being that chair, rocker, are not properties. Chairs, and fall apart.
Thank you. Italy is a food chain, the atom is a tiny solar system with the nucleus at the center and electrons swirling around it. Life consists of for certain purposes, in certain respects, and in certain contexts. France is a hexagon, and Missouri is a parallelogram. Can be true for a schoolboy who has to draw rough maps, but not for professional cartographers. The Earth is a sphere is true as far as most of us are concerned, but it won't do that the flight play from another orbit of a satellite. Not for perspective primitive. That is true for most of us.
You're listening to Sonarchy, coming to you from the studios at Jack Straw Productions in Seattle's U District. Jack Straw operates on a nonprofit basis and has been helping artists record and distribute their work since 1962. If you'd like more information on how to take advantage of our sound studios and educational programs, then please visit our website at jackstraw.org. That's one word, Jack Straw. If you're interested in being on Sonarchy, then email me, doug@jackstraw.org. Let's go back into the studio now. Hello again. This is Jason E. Anderson, and I've been performing on a modular synthesizer that is computer-controlled using SuperCollider, and I'm also processing voice through the modular synth, and it's my friend Ian Halloran reading a passage from Metaphors We Live By, chapter 24, I believe, called Truth. Just a little bit about myself. Perform and host performances in the Seattle area. And if you Google my name, Jason E. Anderson, or Gift Tapes, you can find out more. Thank you for so much. Thank you so much. I'll start back on the music. Thanks.
To a human observer and is not inherent in the mountain.
We must then determine, relative to our purposes, whether what we view as the fog is pretty much between us and what we pick out as the mountain, closer to the mountain, and not to the side of the mountain, or above it, etc. Is more appropriate than other possible relations. Thus, understanding whether the fog is in front of the mountain is true is not merely a matter of A, picking out pre-existing and well-defined entities in the world, the fog in the mountain, and B, The obvious manner of picking out people I'm gone and buried, picking out objects that fits the category gun, understanding what it means to buy a gun, and to buy a gun. Pretending to do any of these in play, or film, or joke. Firing a gun can be an instance of any of these, and which is applicable will depend on the context. But there's only a small range of categories of experience that firing a gun fits into, the most typical of which is shooting someone, since there are many typical ways to stab someone or perform a self attack, but only one normal way to shoot someone.
We understand much more than is given directly in the sentence.
such itself provides a background for understanding
I'm not sure if you're going to be able to do that. Thank you.
physical in terms of something else
that is also physical. In other words, we are becoming something in terms of something else. As we saw above, the experience of arguing is structured partially in terms of the war gestalt. By virtue of the argument is war metaphor. Since argument is a metaphorical kind of experience,
that's by the conventional metaphor, argument is war,
a connection in which there is an argument may be understood in this metaphorical term. Our understanding of an argument situation are involved viewing it simultaneously in terms of both the conversation itself and the war itself. If our understanding of the situation is such that a portion of the conversation affects the successful defense in the war itself, then our understanding of the sentence will fit our understanding of the situation, and we will take the sentence to be true.
Woo! signifying nothing. Non-conventional metaphor evokes conventional metaphor, life is a story. The most salient fact
about stories told by idiots is that they are not coherent. They start off as if they were coherent stories with status, causal connections, and overall purposes, but they suddenly shift over and over again, making it impossible to find coherence as you go along, or any coherence overall. The life story of this sort would have no
so much. This is Jason E. Anderson performing alongside Ian Halloran, and you can find my work through gifttapes.com. Thank you.
You've been listening to another original studio performance on Sonarchy, coming to you from the studios at Jack Straw Productions in Seattle, USA. Sonarchy is produced and mixed by Doug Hare. And there's more about what I'm up to at DougHare.com. If you're interested in being on Sonarchy or want more information about Jack Straw's nonprofit sound studios, then please visit jackstraw.org. Our email contact is doug@jackstraw.org. This show is available in several streaming formats at kexp.org. and is archived as podcasts in iTunes. Find it in iTunes by searching for Sonarchy Podcasts. Many thanks to our friends over at KEXP for bringing an international audience to the sonic arts of the Pacific Northwest. Sonarchy is a Jack Straw production. So thanks again for listening, and so long now.